sa hi adiraja, the original king, rachita anjali, with folded hands, harim, the supreme personality of Godhead, vilokitum, to look upon, na, not, ashakat, was able, ashulochana, his eyes full of tears, na, not, kinchana, anything, uvacha, spoke, sa, he, Bashpaviklava, his voice being choked up, Rida, with his heart, Upaguya, embracing, Amun, the Lord, Adat, he remained, Avastita, standing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The original king, Maharaj Prithu, his eyes full of tears and his voice faltering and choked up, could neither see the Lord very distinctly nor speak to address the Lord in any way. He simply embraced the Lord within his heart and remained standing in that way with folded hands. Purport. Just as Krishna is addressed in the Brahma Samhita as Adi Purusha, the original personality, so King Prithu, being an empowered incarnation of the Lord, is referred to in this verse as Adi Raja, the original or ideal king. He was a great devotee and at the same time a great hero who conquered over all undesirable elements in his kingdom. He was so powerful that he was equal in fighting to Indra, the king of heaven. He gave protection to his citizens, keeping them engaged in pious activities and devotion to the Lord. He did not collect a single cent of taxes from the citizens without being able to give them protection from all calamities. The greatest calamity in life is to become godless, and therefore sinful. If the state head or king allows the citizens to become sinful by indulging in illicit sex life, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, then the king is responsible, and he has to suffer the resultant sequence of reactions for the sinful lives of the citizens, because he levies taxes upon them unnecessarily. These are the principles for a ruling power, and because Maharaj Prithu observed all the principles for a ruling chief, he is referred to here as Adi Raja. Even a responsible king like Maharaj Prithu can become a pure devotee of the first order. We can distinctly see from King Prithu's behavior how he became ecstatic, both externally and internally, in pure devotional service. Just today, we have seen in the newspapers of Bombay that the government is going to repeal its prohibition laws. Ever since Gandhi's non-cooperation movement, Bombay has been kept dry and has not allowed its citizens to drink. But, unfortunately, the citizens are so clever that they have increased illicit distillation of liquor, and although not being sold publicly in shops, liquor is being sold in public lavatories and similar abnormal places. Unable to check such illicit smuggling, the government has decided to manufacture the liquor at cheaper prices so that people can have their supply of an intoxication directly from the government instead of purchasing it in public lavatories. The government failed to change the hearts of the citizens for indulging in sinful life. So instead of losing the taxes they collect to inflate the treasury, they have decided to manufacture liquor to supply to the citizens who hanker after it. This kind of government cannot check the resultant actions of sinful life, namely war, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, and similar other disturbances. Nature's law is that as soon as there are discrepancies in regard to the law of God, which are described in Bhagavad Gita as dharmasya glani, or disobedience to the laws of nature or God, at once there will be heavy punishment in the form of sudden outbreaks of war. We have recently experienced a war between India and Pakistan. Within 14 days, there have been immense losses of men and money, and there have been disturbances to the entire world. These are reactions to sinful life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make people pure and perfect. If we become even partially pure, as described in the Bhagavatam, nashta prayesh vabhadreshu, by development of Krishna consciousness, then lust and greed and the material diseases of the citizens will be reduced. This can be made possible simply by broadcasting the pure message of Srimad Bhagavatam, or Krishna consciousness. Big commercial and industrial firms have contributed many thousands of rupees to a defense fund that burns the money in the form of gunpowder. But unfortunately, if they're asked to contribute liberally to advance the Krishna consciousness movement, they're reluctant. Under the circumstances, the world will periodically suffer from such upsurges and outbreaks of war, which are the consequences of not being Krishna conscious. So the translation again. The original king, Maharaj Prithu, his eyes full of tears and his voice faltering and choked up, could neither see the Lord very distinctly nor speak to address the Lord in any way. He simply embraced the Lord within his heart and remained standing in that way with folded hands. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. Generally, people look at the Hare Krishna movement as one of the options, perhaps, if not the most strange and weird option that might be there. But actually, the Hare Krishna movement is not an option. It's a necessity, without which simply people will have to continue to suffer, both in this life and in future lives. Because it talks about how the material world is actually working. Now, people may doubt that we actually have knowledge. But of course, we know, we begin our philosophy with telling people that your body is changing. But you yourself, the soul within the body, are always the same. Now, for an intelligent person, if you want to play, you should go outside. That if you want to have peace and prosperity in the world, then you have to know how the world works, what causes peace and prosperity, and what doesn't cause peace and prosperity. Now, if people can understand that they're not their body, that they're actually spiritual souls, then the next question should be, why is the eternal soul in a material body? Now, part of the answer is, we didn't just walk into a material body, we were put into a material body. Now the question is, who's making all these arrangements to put these souls into material bodies. It means that the soul, however we may feel ourselves to be independent and free to do whatever we want, we're not free to walk out of this body right now, nor are we free to decide which body I want in the future. So, now, how is the material world working? The point is that, as Krishna says, Krishna bahirmukha bhoga vanchatare nikatasta tare japatiya dare, that as soon as the soul turns its face away from Krishna, then it's put into the material concept of life. Now, if we think about it, right now we're, at least to some degree, in the bodily concept of life. That means we've been put into a prison. And that this body happens to be our prison. Now, who's ever controlling things has decided we deserve to be put into prison. Now, we may think ourselves very nice people, very innocent, that we're worthy of all kinds of praise and adoration. So how is it that whoever is the controller has put us into a prison? Well, most people don't think they're in a prison. They think they're in heaven. They think they've been awarded this body because they're such good, pious people, and they deserve all praise and adoration for their body. Everyone thinks they should be Mr. Universe or Miss Universe. Everyone thinks they deserve honor and respect and become very disturbed if they're not given it. And if someone points out that they're prisoners, that they're criminals, they become very offended. How dare you call me a criminal? Well, my dear sir, if you were not a criminal, then why are you in jail? Either God is unfair and has put pious people in jail because he just doesn't like living entities, or they might be criminal. Now, what is that criminality, according to Bhagavad Gita? Well, first of all, pravritim ca nivritim ca jananavidu asura nisocham napichacharo nisatyam teshu vidyate. The conditioned soul doesn't know what is to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor truthfulness, nor do they have proper behavior. And why don't they have proper behavior? They have such nice manners. They put the fork on the right place. The knife is on the right place. They have a nice napkin to wipe off the blood from the dead animal. They're gentlemen and ladies. So why are they not? Because asatyam apratishtam te jagaro horanishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanya kama haitukam. They say that the whole world is unreal. They say it's unreal, but they're making a lot of plans in this unreal world to become the supreme here. If it was all unreal, then why are they making so many plans here? It has no God in control. Oh, there's no God in control. So why are you fighting against God? Why are you fighting against time? Why are you fighting against each other? If there's no God in control, if you're the supreme and ultimate, then why are you struggling so hard? Why are you trying to avoid old age, disease, and death if there's no higher controller than yourself? There's no God, there's no Parashpram, there's no cause behind the whole thing. It just happened out of nothing. So it just happened out of nothing. So why are you spending so much energy in your own life to make something happen? If everything came out of nothing, why don't you just sit at home and out of nothing you'll get rich? You'll just sit there and nothing will say, well, there's a nice person, make him rich out of nothing. Why are you trying to get your PhD degree? If the whole world came out of nothing, why doesn't your degree just float in out of nothing? So they don't believe in the nothing theory. They're working so hard to make something, not out of nothing, but whatever they can get their hands on. They're not trying to grab nothing to get, I don't have to work, I just go home and grab the nothing to eat. I reach into the sky and hope something appears. No one believes in that philosophy. But because they profess that philosophy, therefore they deny God, Krishna's existence. They deny the existence of the soul. They deny the existence of the super soul. They deny the laws of nature. And what's the result? Anything they don't like, they usually kill. You're interfering with my becoming God. You don't bow down before me. I shoot you. I have the power of life and death over you. I'm God. I'm the form of time. But actually, etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravant yugara karmana shayo jagatau hita. Following such conclusions and loss to themselves, in other words, they have no idea who they actually are, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So actually they say we're making progress. We're making so much progress. Now we can't, in many parts of the world, we can't breathe the air. That's progress. The food, you don't know what's in the food. And you probably wouldn't eat it if you knew. We don't know what's in the water. We don't know what's in people's minds. And we're making progress. But that kind of progress, if you're going to the darkest regions of existence and you're proud of that you're getting there in a jet plane, that before you had to walk and now you have a first class seat, it's not something to be actually proud of. And is it so far removed we can't understand what's going on? No, Krishna says, Trividam narakasyedam, dwaram nashtam atmanaha, kama krodha tata lobas, tasmat etam trayam chajet. That there are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should become free from them because they lead to the degradation of the self. Now, if I'm this body, then let's just party all day long until we, whatever. But if I'm actually a soul, then lust is not going to help me make progress in clearer understanding, at least not according to Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna has given the manifestations of lust are. Dumena vriyate vanira, itar darsho malena cha, itobain avrita garvas, tatate nadam avritam. Now we're all spiritual souls, even in the bodies of the plants and the insects, but the insects that come here to the class are not coming here to hear about Krishna and surrender to make any kind of spiritual progress. If a Tarika came in here and we talked to him about being a vegetarian, he probably wouldn't change his habits very easily. But he's a soul in a certain body. So how did he get that body? Because he's been covered over by a certain amount of lust. In his different past lifetimes, he acted in such a way as to get further increase his lust, and therefore he got the appropriate body that goes along with that degree of lust. So like fire is covered by smoke, or the embryo is covered by womb, or the mirror is covered by dust. So the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So the embryo covering the womb, or the fire covered by smoke, the embryo covered by the mirror covered by dust, that the child in the womb is so restricted it can't even move. that similarly, when the living entity becomes into the form of an animal, that it becomes so restricted, it can't make any kind of separate decision. It's simply under the direction, the dictation of its senses and mind. And the Mirakaravai dust is, in higher species of life, they may be able to have some kind of higher consciousness. But only in the human form of life, the fire covered by smoke, can the fire be properly handled, or so that the smoke goes away and the fire blazes. So right now, because we don't perceive that we're eternal spiritual souls, that means we must be covered by lust. We're covered by something. According to Bhagavad Gita, we're covered by lust. So what is it? So we look around. Do we ever notice that we might become lusty sometimes? Srila Prabhupada said one of the symptoms of his being a liberated soul is that he can be in a room full of naked ladies and not become disturbed. There was one brahmachari, his name was, Usha? Bhagavan, something, the famous one who is impersonalist, free love. Osho, what was his other name? Rajneesh. So Rajneesh, he thought he was very advanced and pure. So he wrote a letter in two of the most popular magazines in India, nationwide magazine, challenging any lady to have him fall down. That he was such a first-class Pukka Brahmachari that no lady in India could possibly divert him from his fixed vow and consciousness. So one famous prostitute from Delhi came and challenged him, spent the night with him, and the next day he wrote an article, Liberation Through Sex. So we may be in the illusion that somehow or another we're not under the influence of lust. But the symptom is the fact that we're in this body, identifying with this body, and we think others, their bodies also. And generally, for most sane civilizations, the first thing that people notice is it a man or a woman? Nowadays, people can't even figure out. The men look like women and the women look like men. And therefore, lust is a symptom of the desire of the living entity to enjoy the material energy. And from lust comes greed. Just like if you're eating an ice cream cone, it's not generally, for most people, it's not out of pure love of God. One is usually not imagining that the strawberry is the lotus feet of Krishna and I'm licking them to make him happy. And what happens when we eating the ice cream cone? We're in anxiety that it's disappearing. My happiness is disappearing. My eternal happiness is going away. And then we become frustrated. So we buy another ice cream cone. Oh, I got enough money, no problems. I'm in control around here. And then we eat another ice cream cone, and maybe eat another one, and eventually we get sick. I'm such a nice person, why should I get sick? I was just eating ice cream. So then we get angry. From lust comes greed, comes anger. And then, if anyone asks us what happened, we blame it on our mother. She gave me too much ice cream when I was younger. I'm addicted. We don't take any responsibility. We're delusional. It's not me, it's my senses. I'm innocent. I'm a victim. Everyone's a victim. No one's responsible for anything. You can be the most hardened criminal. As I'm reading a book, it's mistakes may have been made, but not by me. Even the politicians who are responsible for literally tens of thousands of people being killed in torture, they said, yes, there were mistakes were made, but it was made by my department. I may be directing the department, but it's not my fault. So everyone is delusional, practically speaking. And the symptom is of that delusion that as soon as you ask someone, immediately a lie comes out of their mouth. You go on Book Distribution and say, you know, just give a donation. And they say, no, I don't have any money. No money, I'm completely broke. Oh, really? Where did you get all those things that you're carrying around with you? Oh, I spent it all. Well, just give anything. Just give a couple of pennies. All right, I'll give you a couple of pennies. Open up the wallet, you know, $300 fall out. Really, I had no money. Yeah, it's my friend's money. I'm just carrying my friend's money. So people are delusional. They think that they're living in a fantasy world. And then if you remind them what actually happened, you give your version of what happened, they can't remember it. They think you're making it all up. It's your vision. It's just your imagination. I have my imagination. You have your imagination. It never happened. I didn't actually rob the bank. The money just kind of fell into my hands. And then in order to support our delusion, because we're convinced we're always right, therefore we can't learn anything. No one can teach us anything. Because everything we're doing is perfect. Even though it's completely different than what I did yesterday. Even though I can't remember what I did yesterday. But I'm sure whatever I do is perfect, because I'm perfect. So we lose our intelligence. And no one can help us. Our friends can't help us. Our parents can't help us. No one can, because we have no intelligence. We come onto the animal level of consciousness. And the only thing left, avritam gyana etena gyaneno nityavarina kamarupena kuntia dusprena analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So nowadays, lust being not satisfied, that's very good. That's ambition. That's what makes the world go round. That's why people become, quote, successful in the material world. They become expert at cheating everyone, and they collect vast amounts of money, exploiting others. So that's very good. They're the most lusty, greedy, and if you disturb them, they become the most angry and vicious. And not only they're never satisfied, but it burns like fire. But this is not just fire. This is called love. This is romance. My romance with... I want to have romance with every single lady. And then after I get tired of the ladies, then it's the men. Then it's the animals. Then it's dead bodies. And we're very creative. Who knows in the future? Now it's robots, actually. And it's all love. Oh, my favorite robot. And society is actually believing they're making progress and that their leaders are leading them to the promised land. And are all around the world, people are becoming, you know, a little bit more honest. Now they have these Satanist cults, they call it. Now people, you know, they're making these signs like this. Even on the billboards sometimes you see it. The sign of the devil. Because, you know, they're going to get personal darshan pretty soon. Might as well. Why wait to join his club? You're already part of it. And they think that's progress. But here, Prithvi Maharaj showed the example of an ideal king, that he didn't allow his citizens to degrade themselves so they become qualified to the lower species of life in their next lifetime. Kali Yuga is a great starting point for the most lowest species of life. But, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam emaram rajarashiva vidu sahak lene ta mahata yogo nashvata parantapa, that the kings, the leaders, their duty was to protect the citizens from lust, not allow unrestricted billboards, as long as they as long as business is the purpose of life, is to make money for sense gratification. No dharma, no idea of liberation, just complete animal existence, trying to get the resources to enjoy the senses. So that means that they've lost their vision. They don't have any vision. Ite vidu swarthikatim hi vishnu darashya ye bahir arthamanina. They may have so many conferences, they may have so many different self-help books, they may have so many different things. They may work to some extent to solve some insignificant problems. But the real problem is that the human form of life is being wasted. So the actual leaders, like Prithvi Maharaj, wouldn't allow that. People were not allowed unrestricted sex life. They were not allowed unrestricted intoxication. They were not allowed unrestricted gambling and killing animals. And what to speak of nowadays, the animals. Now they're not only they're killing their own children, but now if you go to America, even when the child is being born, you're allowed to kill it. They claim the child has no soul, so it's about to get out of the body, and you're going to make sure that that child has no soul. And that's called progress. They're offended if you call someone a bad name, but there's no offense if you kill children in the womb. No offense. So people have lost their intelligence, and the government allows it. They're passing the laws. And if you criticize it, they'll be arrested for disturbing some person's mind. If you call them a murderer for killing a child, no offense killing the child, calling them a murderer is a big offense. You'll be in jail for doing it. The solution, of course, is we have to become, as Prabhupada writes here, at least people should chant Hare Krishna. At least they should develop some kind of quality, some kind of activity which will give them some intelligence so they can understand that they're eternal souls and that they're going to have to get the results of whatever activities they're doing this lifetime and that they're missing a great opportunity and instead spoiling it. So at least that much information should be there. And that's supplied by Prithvi Maharaj, supplied it to his citizens, and he saw that they followed it. He wasn't embarrassed that I'm just a Hindu, and I'm a Hindu king, and it's my ideas. No, yakshastra vidim utsrija vartite kamakarata nasasidim avatnoti nasukam naparam gitim. That if we don't follow shastra, will get neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivyastito, gyatva shastram vidanokta karma kartam viharasi. One should know what is to be done and what's not to be done by shastra. And knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one gradually becomes purified. So shastra is not some sectarian, you know, book, fanatical book written by some fanatical people. No, shastra says we're not this body. That's not simply sentiment, that's a reality. Shastra said there's God in control. It's not some kind of sentiment, fanatical sentiment. It's a reality. At least we can perceive God's control from time or the fact that we're in the illusion. It's not a fact that we can have as much love, we can fulfill our lust, anger, and greed and live peacefully in this world. It's not a fanatical understanding. No, shastra is meant to regulate our senses so that we can discover, we can hear reality that's explained in shastra, and therefore become aware of our real selves and actually what's going on here. And we say, oh, I don't want to follow shastra. Then you're making up your own shastra. What are all these laws of the government? Are they not shastra? And if you don't follow them, does the government say, oh, yes, whatever you want. You don't have to pay your taxes. We don't want to be fanatical. We're very liberal. No, if you don't follow their shastra, then you'll get shastra. You get their weapons right in your face. So everyone has their shastra. Everyone has their rules and regulations. Just like even in Africa, in the tribes, I was saying, in South Africa, they have a very simple philosophy that if you're alive, you're good. And if you're dead, you're bad. So if I kill you, you're bad. And I'm alive, so I'm good. So they also have their philosophy that they follow. And we also have the same philosophy. Our country is so nice, we go over and liberate people because we want to save them for democracy. We bomb them into smithereens. There's practically a few people crawl out. And then we say, thank you very much, we've liberated you. Now we're going to rebuild you, and here's the bill. Here's the bill for rebuilding your country. But you have to give us everything that's left. So we also have our very simple philosophy. And everyone says, oh, yes, we're so nice. Of course it must be true. We don't follow shastra, we don't either individually or collectively, then all we can expect is more and more trouble. If we're going to read the newspapers and we expect today there is going to be good news, we're dreaming. We hear that they've stopped eating meat, they've stopped killing their children, they've stopped having illicit sex, taking intoxication, gambling. Then we can understand that that's good news. Everything else is bad news. I mean, there may be some modifications on that because there is some movement, you know, there is anti-abortion movements, but generally those people who are against abortion, they don't mind killing animals. And those who are against killing animals or have anything to do with animals, they're generally fine with killing children. So there's different modifications on these things. It's not that it's all in ignorance. There's some goodness, but the trend is not towards pure goodness. The leaders are not directing people towards pure goodness. The leaders are simply bought by the politicians or bought by the people who are making money, and they're making money principally through all kinds of sinful activities. So we can't only this Hare Krishna movement can actually help ourselves and help others. And let's hope we become more aware of how we can actually fulfill the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread this movement as Srila Prabhupada envisioned it and as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected that we participated in it and actually do something to actually change the direction of this misdirected civilization. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Yes.
Well, first of all, people are not free. Free to serve your senses in any way you want is not freedom. It's actually bondage. Just like the example I was given that Sridhar Maharaj was preaching in Woodstock in Poland. Has anyone ever been to Woodstock during the festival there? What state of consciousness are most of the people in? Yes, they're intoxicated. So he was talking about, he was preaching against intoxication and the four principles. So one of the audience threw a beer can at him. And he picked up the beer can and looked at it and said, "This is not my brand." So that's what they think freedom is, to choose what brand of intoxication they're going to indulge in. But that's not freedom. Because Prabhupada appreciated that they're giving us some freedom in the Western world to practice Krishna consciousness. So that Prabhupada really appreciated that that's freedom, that they're giving us that freedom. In some places in the world, we don't have that freedom. So, but that's really the freedom, is when we choose to not be dictated by the senses, but we make our own determination to be dictated by Krishna. So that's our freedom. As far as responsibility, that's our the responsibility in the human form of life. If we don't take up that responsibility to utilize our senses in the service of Krishna, service of Rishikesha, the owner of the senses, then we're irresponsible. And the result is we'll be punished. Tanaham dvishita kuran mam savesha naradamam shipram yastram astrubam asri shveva yonishu asrim yonam apamanam muda janmini janmini mama prapyaiva kundya tato yantyara mam gitim. Those who are mischievous, envious, and the lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast into the lower species of life. Sinking deeper and deeper into the lower species of life, such persons can never attain me. So that's irresponsible life. It's everyone's responsibility to know what Krishna wants and to do that, either through Varna and Ashram or through the Hare Krishna movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It's everyone's duty to do that, or else they become responsible. They're held responsible for their sinful activities, irresponsible activities. It's not that the Hare Krishna movement, all these people are fanatics, they're fire and brimstone, you're going to hell. That's the reality of the situation. Yes.
There was a mention of Prabhupada saying that you cast those who don't follow the commission. How do we understand that we also must get a little bit of our
Krishna? Krishna is so merciful. Oh, that's his mercy. Just like if you insist in putting your hand in the fire and your father comes and slaps you, you say, "Why are you slapping me?" I'm having a great time putting my hand in the fire. It's almost done. It's well done. So it's Father's mercy. He has a crazy child. He's trying to save the child. So the whole material world is one big university. The universe is a university. And there's a certain lessons to be learned. And one of the lessons is that we're not God. We're not the supreme enjoyers and controllers. And when we try to enjoy and control other living entities and the material resources, then we get punished. So we can learn who we actually are. The example given in the Bhagavatam is that the husband, he has a wife or many wives, and he wants to enjoy with them. So he shakes one of them who's asleep. So they're thinking, why am I being punished? Why are you shaking me? To wake up so you can actually enjoy. So Krishna is shaking us so we can wake up and enter back into the spiritual world again, where we can actually be happy, or at least into spiritual consciousness. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.